When I was thinking a while ago, I'll give you a disclaimer at the beginning of the sermon. My doctor started me on two new medicines, and one of them is gives me dry mouth. And so if you see me drinking a lot, it's not that I'm just, I don't want to go and not be able to talk. It's been awesome. I'm trying to do band and youth, and right in the middle of the Bible study, I'm just like, will you pray? And they'll give me a drink, and then, okay. And they're like, why do we do that? But I was thinking a while ago when Bill was doing the Mother's Day recognition, and he said something about Dana standing, and, you know, when he said, is there anybody 20? And Dana was standing. And, you know, Bill has told us he's 39 in the youth program. We call that cradle robbing, you know, when you date somebody that's 19 years younger than you. So, Bill, you better get in gear there, buddy. I was looking through my Bible trying to figure out verses for this morning to do the Mother's Day sermon and what would be appropriate. And I ran across a couple of verses that didn't seem to work out quite as well as I'd hoped they would. And so let me read one of those verses to you, and you see if this will work out for the service today. You'd be surprised what you find when you're looking for something. This is Galatians chapter 4, verse 27. And it says, for it is written, be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry out loud. You have had no labor pains because you are your children. You have no children. And I was like, yeah, that probably doesn't fit. Better move on to something a little different. And so I looked at another one over in Matthew. And you don't have to turn there. This is not part of the sermon. I hear some of you doing pages, unless you just want to mark them to tell people. But this is Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. And it says, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I didn't think that one would work either. So I decided that we probably need to go to, you know, what would probably be known as one of the best mothers in the Bible, which would be Mary, Jesus' mother, and take a look at some different aspects of her life in what she did with Jesus in raising him and what she went through. So take your Bibles and for real this time, turn to Luke chapter 2. When you're doing a sermon about mothers, my mom and dad caused me to lie to Mary. I just want you to know that up front. I told Mary this a while ago because she called me this week and says, your mom and dad coming in? I'd like them to sing. And I said, nope, they're not coming in. And then they come walking in this morning. And they didn't tell me they were coming. So Mary's like looking at me like, you know. So mothers often get us in trouble too. And mine did this morning with Mary. But when you begin to look at what mothers do, their role in God's plan of mothers and fathers, each one had a role. I can't tell you how hard it is in youth ministry today in dealing, and I even tell our kids, our youth, how lucky they are to have a mom and a dad. The world is being torn apart by society, by different opinions and things like that with the divorce and even past that. I had a young lady that did our disciple now that is living with her stepdad. Mom passed away and dad doesn't want her. And so I'm running into young people that are having to deal with difficult situations at home. So if you're a mom and you're taking care of your kids and stuff like that, it's a harder job than it used to be. There's lots of single moms having to raise kids without the influence of a dad, and the things that are set aside for dads to be a part of the life of that child. What they get from the dad, the biggest thing they get from a dad is self-esteem, especially in young ladies. their self-esteem of who they are and when they begin to date and things like that. But the other side of that is the mom has a role that the dad can't replace. The mom has a role in how she thinks, how she treats things. I love the Bill Cosby. If you've ever heard Bill Cosby's story about parents and parenting, I remember growing up, and we used to have, you know, the, what are they, 78 records, 78 size, what they think, that's what they call them, the big records. I used to listen to Bill Cosby's stories on, you know, all these different things and funny stuff, and he was a comedian that was very good, but he didn't use profanity, which is rare again today. But he used to talk about moms and dads and the different ways that they raise kids. That mom would go to the supermarket, and she's telling the kid, her children there, stay with the cart, stay with the cart, stay right here, don't run away, stay right here, stay with me, you know, and it's just a constant struggle. And then dad would go shopping, and he said, my dad would go, stay with the cart, and he'd go shop, and we'd run off, and then he'd go home. And, you know, the manager is sitting on the front step going, do you think he's coming back? And Bill Cosby said, I don't know. He said, you learn to hang on to that cart when you go with dad. And then he said, with the car, with mom, it's don't mess with that doorknob. Don't roll the window down. Leave that alone. Keep your seatbelt on. All this stuff. And dad goes, don't mess with that door handle. And you mess with it. He opens it, pushes you out on the highway. And then you realize why you weren't supposed to mess with that door handle. Okay? Dads just have a different way of doing things than moms. But moms are the nurturer. Moms are the fix the boo-boos. You know, dad's like, pour gasoline on it, it'll work. It'll heal it up. And moms are, you know, they're more the nurturer. And I've learned that in my years of having children and raising them when they were little and things like that and figuring out all the things that are out there. I know that there were times that my kids would do something and I would be going, and Patty's like, I'll take care of it because you'll kill them and go to jail. And so there's a role there for moms. So let's take a look at what the Bible says. This is the beginning of Jesus' life. This is his birth. And what were some of the things that Mary experienced in this? So we're going to start with verse 15 through 19. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all the things and pondered them in her heart. And so when we begin to look at Mary in her role, you see the first thing that came out is she was not going to get involved in the popping circumstance of the situation. She knew that was her child to raise, that God had given her a task, that God had given her a ministry. And so she treasured the things that they were sharing. She wasn't braggadocious about it. She didn't say, look, I've got the Son of God. You know, she didn't do that. She treasured up in her hearts. When we raise our kids, we don't know what they're going to be. We don't know what they're going to do. When we're raising them, I remember when Patty and I brought Timothy home that first day from the hospital, and we're like, now what? You know, it eats, it poops. You don't really know with that first one, especially when you have that first one. You don't really know what to do. You just kind of, I mean, there's not a training school other than what your parents did and of how to raise the kids. And so you come home with that. So I'm thinking that Mary was probably thinking about that. I now have this child. What's the best way to raise him? What's the best way to take care of him? How should I teach him? How should I train him? What's he going to be like? What's his personality going to be? So you begin to think about that. I remember one thing that moms do different than dads in growing up and having my own kids is moms like to dress them up in stuff that they can take a picture and embarrass them later with. I remember a picture that was on our wall. And I've dealt with this when people have come over to my mom and dad's house, and they see me in ninth grade girls. They see me in ninth grade in my basketball shorts, which back then were short shorts. I mean, that's what the guys wore. And they're going, "Ooh, gross." And, you know, and that's, you know, the parents take pictures and they go, I mean, I remember with Timothy, Patty dressed him up when he was little and helpless and defenseless. And she would put a bow in his head. Now, I'm not really sure why, when he was itty-bitty baby, but there was bows in his head, and I was like, the other babies are going to make fun of him, you know? And then she dressed him up one time with overalls and a red shirt and little shorts with overalls. No one wears that ever anymore. And big black ring glasses. He looked like a little nerd. And you know, that picture's at our house. And so moms have a different perspective than dads. You think about what dad was going through this. But they also have different fears. What's going to be the path of this child? What do I need to protect him? Moms have a natural nurturing, taking care of the child. Having the angel talk to her about what was going to happen, she obviously had some inklings that there was going to be, he was going to have a great and amazing ministry. It was going to be something that was going to change the world. So I want you to look just a little further down. Go over to chapter 2 in Luke, verse 25 through 35. Verse 25 through 35, chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was a custom of the laws required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you have dismissed your servant in peace. For my eyes have been your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, in the light for revelation of the Gentiles, and the glory of your people of Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that it will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And this is not the good part, and a sword will pierce your soul too. One of the hardest things is understanding the role our child may play in the world, the sacrifice that may be given up by our child. I see people like last week when we had the missionary here, and I understand his role, but I also understand his sacrifice, because my roommate in college has been in Moscow, Eddie Tarleton, and he came and preached here one time. And I understand that he left his family. Not his family, but his mom and his dad and his brothers and sisters. And he and his wife went to Moscow to be missionaries. Mary, I think, had an idea of what the role was going to be for Jesus. And Simeon was telling her, it's not going to be the average role of a person. He's not just going to grow up and do things and live his life and then die. There's going to be some special things about it, but it's also going to hurt. I think moms think things through better sometimes than dads. I'm a reactor, I react to things when something happens, you know. I react. Patty comes every day and tells me about, you know, something with special ed. A kid, you know, poked her or hit her or something like that. I'm like, did you whack him back? You know, I mean, that's my reaction. And she's like, we can't. They're special and we have to go through, you know. And I'm like going, you whack him, he won't do it again. And, you know, and she's like, no, we can't do that. But dads react differently than moms. Moms, I think, sometimes think things through. Moms think sometimes what the long-term agenda is. And I think Mary was beginning to see that there was something coming up. And that last part of that verse, we're going to reflect on that on the end of the sermon, that a sword will pierce your own soul too. And so I want to look on just a little bit further, go down now to verse 49. And I want to look at one of the major things that begins to happen in the life of Jesus. Go to verse 49, chapter 2, verse 49 through 51. It says, why were you searching for me? Now, you need to understand the story. This is when they had left the temple. Jesus was 12 years old, and he was in the temple speaking and didn't go back with his parents, and they had come back to find him. And Jesus says, why were you searching for me, he asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother, here it is again, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Now this is 12 years later, or actually probably about 10 years, because it took the shepherds about 2 years to get to Jesus. And so this is many years later. Again, she's taking what's happening in his life. In Jewish tradition, at 12 years old, you're considered an adult. There are large amounts of Bible that you have to know and understand in Scripture and memorize. And you are pushed into manhood at age 12 in their culture. And so he was at that age. He was beginning to learn what his ministry was going to be. He was beginning to take those steps. But on the same stance, he was at an age that it says that he was also obedient to his parents. I think that as a role of a father in that situation, you can imagine it doesn't really talk about Joseph's reaction. He was probably mad. That's what I would be if my kids, you know. And you know, one of the things, it's understandable that we'd be mad, because as a man, we'd have to then ask directions of where we're going, because we lost the group. You know, we don't like to do that. And we have a tendency, you know, our first reaction is, well, now we're going to be late. You know, now we're going to be, you know. And mom's reaction was she treasured the things in her heart. I think that's a gift that moms have of understanding maybe the soft side of kids. As men, we want to have everything in order. You know, we want to have it all. We want to have all our tools hung up in an order. We want to have all the stuff. And I think moms have a more flexible sometimes view of things, that we want to see how it's going to work. Mary knew that there was a plan there from God. She didn't totally know, I think, exactly what it was, but she was open to that. When she knew that he was in the church, she's like, yeah, this is something that he's drawn to. There's something going to be in this. I also think that the example that Jesus knew where the church was is something that's lost today. I was sharing with my youth that we've had a blessing from God, really, of a large increase in our youth program on Wednesday nights. Now, I haven't been able to get them over here, but probably 2/3 of that group does not have at least one or both parents. And they're kids from school that, I used the example, I even told my mom and dad this morning, I said, it's really amazing, because we've had a lot of kids get saved and stuff. And I said, I've got my leadership group that's organizing and planning and helping decorate for camp, and I can always depend on them. And I said, and then I've got this other group that's starting to come now that don't have that mom and dad influence. You can tell the difference. They don't know what church is. They don't know who Jesus is. They're not being taught about what it means to go to church. They're not being taught by their parents. You know, my mom and dad being church staff, And I told Patty, I said, well, I'm going to have to scratch out all the mom and dad stuff on my papers as they're here. The other man goes, I don't remember that, you know. But all my mom and dad, my dad being on church staff, my mom, their role in my life at raising me at church, I really never woke up and said, I think I'm going to skip church today. Because first off, my mom would say, are you sick? And I'd have to come up with something. And if I said I'm sick, then she'd go, then I'm getting my needle and my medicine. And they're giving you a shot. And I'm like, I'm feeling a lot better. So, you know, that was not a question. There was not an option there. And I really think in a lot of people's lives today, students, they have that option to just skip church. And so Mary and Joseph at a very young age taught Jesus the importance of being in church. And so when Dad got mad, Mary treasured that in her heart. Well, if it's a treasure, it must be worth something. And she took the fact that he was in church. If he would have been out running around or playing or, you know, stealing something or tearing something up, it might have been different, but he was in church. And so I'm thinking the thought there is if we had parents today that were focused on raising their kids in church, how important that would be. And we have some of that. I'm not saying we don't. We have some of that, and it's tremendous. But the difference in a child's life for those that don't have that is devastating. It's devastating. That doesn't have a mom that is taking us to church, that says this is important in our life. You know, I've always struggled with that, is the fact that we work so hard to teach our kids how to read and write, how to do these things. I know when Patty and I, both being, you know, school educators and educating degrees and all, when our kids were little, we were always using something. And even if it wasn't like a lesson or something like that, we were like, what color is that stop sign? And they're like, you know, purple. You know, they weren't that smart. But no, I'm just kidding. But we use colors and things. What? Tell me when the lights change on the stoplight. We were trying to educate them from a very young age, you know, numbers and letters and colors and words and thing and how to speak. We were always correcting that. And there's just a role there that without the mother gets lost. And so as we look at how important mothers are in the lives of our kids and grandkids, I can't tell you how many, I don't want to leave you out, grandmas, but I can't tell you how many kids I've got in my youth group that are being raised by grandma and grandpa. I remember, again, the Bill Cosby thing, and he was talking about how awesome the kids were, and he's like giving them a quarter, and you know, the dad's going, you never gave me a quarter. You said, go mow the lawn, I'll give you 50 cents. You know, and here's the grandkids, and he's handing out money. And, you know, the grandkids come in the house, and he's giving out cake. He's like, I never got cake, you know. But you still have a role. And Bill Cosby, you say, the best part about grandkids is watching the taillights go out of the driveway and you peace and quiet, you know. And it doesn't happen anymore. I've got grandmas and grandpas, and some of you may be that are having to raise the kids and having to do that. And praise God for that. That's not the intentional way that God had it laid out with mom and dad doing it and grandparents, you know, helping. It's becoming, they're the number one. They're the number one influence. So again, they have a role that is so important in the life. Jesus had a parents that said that Christianity is important. Church is important. And I don't want to get I want to get away from just saying the word church to society today, to my kids today that I deal with at school. Church means the building. And Christianity is what I'm having to push a lot more. In my day, when you said church, you meant Christianity. But it's not that anymore. Church today is a gathering place for the group of these people. And it's just a different way of thought. But Christianity, pushing the Bible reading, the quiet times, the things that they need in their home, the studies, the just the basic principles. I share with some of these kids basic principles about dating, that, you know, of looking for someone who is correct for you in your life. Does that guy need to treat you that way? And they're like, the guy treats my mom that way. What's different? And it's just so sad. the role of a mother in today's society is so important because there is no other role being, nothing else being taken that role. There's nothing there. So it's so important. And so in that, we get busy, but we have to make a decision. Are our kids the priority? Are our grandkids the priority? And where there's a hole, we've got to step in. And it, you know what? The step in I'm seeing is grandmas from neighbor kids, taking care of the kids in your neighborhood, being a community. One of the girls that got saved at Beautiful Feet, Kaylee, was Don and Rita's neighbor, and they, and I think they're relatives somewhere. They're connected some way. And that girl's, I've known her for 2 years in band. So I kind of had her little relationship, and when she started coming and she saw that I was here and Rita was bringing her and driving her, and then she gets saved. Well, what a greater reward for a mother to be able to, or a grandma to be able to say that I was able to bring my child and they got saved. There is no more success reward than that, to be the one that led your daughter or son to Christ. So I want to take another step now, and I want to look at a point of separation. When do we release our kids out into the wild? What have we prepared them for? So I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of John, chapter 2. John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana and in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples also had been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And he said, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." I want to take a look at those first four verses and the results of them. Now, first off, if I went to my mom years ago and said, "Woman," I would go, you know. And apparently that's illegal now, so I may file charges. You can't whack your kid, you know, anymore unless you just do it in private. That's why we started pinching Matthew's ear when he was little, because people got onto us for spanking him. But In the Bible times, when you refer to a woman as "dear woman" in the culture, it was not a derogatory or an angry. It was a neutral statement, and we'll see this same wording come up again in the last verse that we're going to look at in a little bit. But he was not being derogatory towards his mother, but he also was beginning to break away from the control of a mother of his life to what God wanted to send him or take him to. Probably the hardest thing in the life of a mother is that right there, is giving up that hanging on to, holding on to, and ministering to. It's hard. It's hard because I remember and it doesn't matter their age, okay? I remember when we took Kayla, we'll embarrass Kayla, but to college, the first college she went to. Funniest thing, when we started moving her in, and you guys that have college kids have dealt with this just recently with the baby of the family, which is a pretty big sized guy for a baby. But we took Kayla, and you know, it's different with girls. I found that out. You know, when we sent Matthew to college, we went. When we sent Kayla to college, we had to drive her there and take all her stuff and check the room and all this. And we went and got her all moved into the room. And, you know, she was like giving us the look, you know, a panic. So we took her to Walmart. You know, that's how you, this is a Father's Day part of the sermon. Take them to Walmart and makes them all feel better, okay? Everything gets better at Walmart. So we run to Walmart and get some stuff, you know, for her room and some food and some frou-frou stuff. And look, a stuffed animal, you can snuggle with this. And so we're driving out, you know, and she's in the window with the puppy dog eyes going, as we're driving out, you know, I'm like, she's 21 years old. Oh, my gosh. But, she, you know, and Patty's in the car window going, can we stay? You know, and she's got a roommate. You can't move in there. You have to sleep on the floor. But there's a time of releasing your child, your baby. I know that Mary was looking at Jesus as this baby, this child, all through, you know, it's hard to see him grow up. But this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And by him saying this and not calling her Mary, but saying, dear woman, he was saying, I've got to break away from this, from my mother and her teachings and all this that she's prepared me for, and begin my ministry. And then if you'll go down to verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, it says, this is the first of his miracles and miraculous signs Jesus performed at Canaan in Galilee. Because of her releasing him into doing what God wanted to do in his life, she had the blessing of seeing the beginning of his ministry and his first miracle. And so what we learn from that, and it, again, it's a difficult thing. I can't tell you, you know, I told you I started some new medicine. Well, if I don't take something at night to sleep, it wakes me up. Luckily, I live in the country. And because I get this like in the middle of the night, I'm just like, I got to go do something. So this past week at 4:30 in the morning, I went out and repaired a lawnmower for Kayla's yard because she needed to mow her lawn and her lawnmower's not working. And I could just see if I would have been like in a housing addition, I'm out there starting a lawnmower and testing it and adjusting the carburetor and all that. At 4:30 in the morning, there'd have been neighbors, you know, calling 911, what's going on. But my mind was running such that I was like, she needs to mow the lawn. I got to get the lawnmower going. My big mower won't fit through her gates. It's too narrow. What can I do? I mean, my mind was doing that because as parents, that's what we do. We take care of our kids. We're trying to solve problems for our kids. We're trying to fix things. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry that she had to come to grips with, that he wasn't a child anymore. He wasn't 12 anymore. He had moved beyond that. And when she released him, she got the blessing. I want to look at one more section, and then we'll finish up for this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 25. This is the crucifixion. I don't think this is what Mary had planned for Jesus. This was not really the hopes that a mother has for her son. When we have to take one of our kids to the doctor, which is usually Kayla, Matthew's gone a time or two when he knocked himself out with a post hole driver. But we've been there, and you see your son or daughter laying on an emergency table or in a hospital bed, you begin to think, you know, why couldn't it have been me, Lord? Why couldn't I have been up there? What could I do to fix this? What could I do to correct this? That's our instinct as a parent, as a mother, that nurturing. And this was kind of the final thing for Mary and what was going on in her life. So I want to take a look at this. It's verse 25. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And I want to jump down to 26. And it says, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved, which was John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman. There's that phrase again. Now, did he mean it in a mean way this time? No, he didn't mean it in a mean way the first time. It was just his expression to her, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. It really doesn't mention, and I don't know if it ever mentions, I've never researched it, whether Joseph was there at the cross, but it specifically has involvement with Mary up to the end in his life. she began to see what the purpose was of all this. She began to see the ministry that he had been performing for all these years come into completion with the purpose that God had laid out. But with that, there was also reward. You know, that verse that we read, that there was going to be a sword through your soul. I think that dying on the cross was probably that. Seeing your child die like that would probably be that. But all the things that she had treasured up in her heart through the years helped her get through this difficult time. It helped Mary be the amazing mother that she was in her role of raising the Son of God. And think of that how amazing that would be, or how challenging that would be to have that position of raising the Son of God as your mother. But even though it was hard, she began to understand that Jesus was going to save the world. And the reward, again, was great. Remember the sacrifice and the reward? She got to see the first miracle. Now she's seeing again another sacrifice. And then she gets to see God's miracle of him being raised from the dead and giving us salvation. What an ultimate success story for a mother to be able to say, this is what my son did. I'm sure that as a mom that had a son that's in the military that maybe died overseas or in one of the wars or died in Afghanistan or wherever, and the sacrifice they gave so that we can stand here and do this, that our country, we can go and live in peace. There's a price that has to be paid to save others. And Mary went through that with the Son of God, that there's always a price, but the rewards are tremendous. So I want you to think about that as you raise your children, as you raise your sons and daughters, as your grandkids, and what if you sacrifice? What will be the rewards? Whose life will that person touch? Whose life will that person change? Whose life will be given salvation? You know, even on the cross, Jesus shared with the thief next to him, and that thief got to be a Christian. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. So she's visually getting to see her son up to the point of dying, doing God's work. I can't really think of anything that's more important than that for a mom, to be able to see your child do the work of the Lord, the ministry, teenagers that are going on mission trips and adults that are going on mission trips and doing ministry to children in the projects and in Mexico and that don't have a mom. You know, one of the hardest things that I deal with when I go to Mexico is there's no dads. There are none. There are very few. They're over here working. And then they don't go back. They say they're coming back, but they don't. And it's moms and kids. And it's difficult. Those little kids, and those that have been there, Blake's been there, they grab on you. They want to hang on you, especially a guy, because all they got is mom. All they got is mom. So I want you to bow your heads right now. I just want you to think for a minute. As we talk about this, and it's Mother's Day and all the things that mothers have done in your life, maybe you're a grandparent and your kids are out, but there's a neighbor kid that needs a mom, or there's somebody on your block that needs a mom, and you may need to drive them to church. That's how Patty got to church, was a neighbor lady brought her. Someone cared. The role of moms in today's society is so much greater, so much more need than it used to be. It's so tremendous. There's so many moms having to do everything for their kids. Don't take it lightly. In all that struggle, there's always blessings that God's got out there. There's always going to be reward. There's always going to be amazing things that he's going to use your kids for in the lives of others around them. And sometimes it may be sacrifice. Sometimes it may be painful. But there's always going to be a blessing from God coming when we're faithful to him. We're going to have our time of invitation, but we're going to, again, do it just a little bit different. And I'm going to have just our moms stand. Moms, go ahead and stand if you're a mother. And I want to have just a time of prayer, blessing on you. And then we'll start our invitation. If anybody would like to make a commitment, would like to make a decision to Christ, to become a Christian, to give your life to him. And if there's anybody that would like to do that, we'll take care of that. Want to lead you in that direction in your life and do what it takes. But understanding the commitment is tough. It's tough. But the rewards are great. Lord, I want to lift up these moms right now, those that have the responsibility of raising the next generation, what they will be, what they think, how they act, how they respond to you, if they're sensitive to your word. A lot of responsibility, Lord. So right now, I want you just to give them courage and strength to do everything they can to be the Christian mom that you want them to be. Lord, there's going to be other things that are on the side that just keep us distracted sometimes, but there's nothing more important in our lives than our kids. That God, we serve you in everything that we do, and we want to lift them up to you, and we want to offer them to you. As was the Jewish custom when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to Simeon, it should be our custom to bring our kids to you, Lord, present them for you to put your hands around them and take care of them. Lord, I just pray that in all things you'll get the glory for what they do, that you will bless the lives of these moms, that you'll bless the lives of their kids as the moms lead them. And when we feel like we failed or we struggle or we're not doing a good job, that you'll give us courage and you'll give us direction, that you'll give us friends that can influence us and advise us, grandparents that have been there, done that, and that can share with us the right way to go, how to deal with things. But Lord, I pray that we'll never give up. We'll never turn our back on our kids, and we'll do everything we can to lead them in your path. I just thank you for everything that you've done for us this morning, Lord, as we come to you and just worship you on this Mother's Day. Just in my prayer. Amen.